Having Faith, Commentary for the May 23, 2026 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Hebrews 11, verse 6. On the surface, faith seems like a simple topic. Doesn't it just mean to believe in something or someone? But centuries upon centuries of theology and apologetics, giving birth to hundreds of thousands, perhaps millions, of homilies, have hidden any simplicity in a bustling anthill of chaotic activity, where the reason for the hill's existence is hidden deep beneath the frenetic jostling of all the insects. The queen, safely tucked away and secure in her purpose, goes about her activity regardless of the opinions of all her subjects. All the opinions and arguments of the more scholarly inclined of her subjects notwithstanding. I doubt any single ant questions why they are doing all of this, or whether the queen cares about her subjects and their lives. They continue to do as they have always done, and their success relies on every ant committing to that paradigm, creating a structural integrity in their society that allows them to survive challenges beyond the ability of a single ant alone. Would we call this faith? Are ants capable of having faith in one another, faith in their leadership, faith in their purpose? They appear able to discern needs and communicate necessary responses to those needs, while other ants fall in line to create the necessary responses. But do they understand, as we claim to, the depth of meaning and its import underlying our societal efforts to meet and surpass the achievements of the insect world? Does an ant ever look up at the night sky and marvel at the magnificence that glitters above us? And as we wonder this about the ants, does any being beyond our vast yet still humble efforts to comprehend our universe wonder if we ourselves understand the awesomeness of what we see? The ant may have physical limitations that prevent them from understanding. Maybe their tiny world is all the awesomeness with which they can interact. If so, that begs the question whether on another level that is true of us as well. We like to think that our search for knowledge and understanding is limitless, but is it? Maybe this is where faith abides, that frontier between what we really understand and that which lies just out of reach of understanding. In the eponymous series, Rod Serling might have called this area the Twilight Zone, a boundary between the light of understanding and the darkness shielding us from answers. While thousands of horror stories, movies, and artworks around the world try to teach us to fear that darkness, there is a certain safe feeling that comes from remaining in darkness. There are those in the ignorance is bliss crowd who go through life operating under the principle of what you don't know cannot hurt you. However, the COVID pandemic revealed that many can be hurt and even die while being ignorant of what they are facing. Therefore, we launch our probes into space, seeking answers that will light up the darkness. Sometimes those answers can be more frightening than the darkness of ignorance as we grow in our understanding of how significant impacts between meteors and plants have shaped our solar system. Despite their rarity, we can no longer assume everlasting safety. It makes more sense, instead of wishing on a falling star, to wish that the meteor safely bypasses us while it travels through the solar system. While there are examples where the Earth has been struck in past ages, causing mass extinctions, so far we have been spared that experience, at least since Neolithic times. A popular topic in modern science is whether life exists on other planets in the universe. If it does, would it be inclined to be either more or less advanced technologically than our own? If our paths crossed, would they be inclined to wipe us out, as we attempted to do to so many indigenous societies on our planet when we use superior technology to subjugate them? Or would we attempt doing the same to those alien visitors if their technology was lacking compared to ours, as in the Avatar movie series? From computations based on statistical probabilities and astral studies enabled by powerful analytical telescopes, we have determined that the odds favor other life out there, somewhere. But we have no idea how that life would be defined, or if it would be friendly, hostile, or indifferent to humanity. A popular science fiction genre has arisen based on the idea that an alien race could be tempted to mine the resources of Earth. In the process, while not being hostile to humanity, their indifference causes them to see the loss of mankind as simply a sad byproduct of their industrial exploitation of our world. While all of this is speculative, it has foundation in the experiences of the colonial era in our past, an era that still haunts the relationships between modern nation-states, with fears of slipping once again into the enslavement of entire nations to the whims of their more powerful neighbors, craving rare resources to fuel the technological advances of empire. Millions have died in conflicts between such empires, contesting for those limited resources. Knowing this of ourselves, it is not hard to project such ambitions onto hitherto unknown alien societies. This is largely because such beliefs are founded upon fear, and once engaged, fear does not easily yield the field to anything else, focusing entirely on eliminating the perceived threat rather than determining whether that threat and the fear it induces is realistic. While it is equally possible that such aliens are just as likely to have discovered how to live safely and peaceably, fear forbids that consideration. Persistent faith barely gives that idea steerage. Steerage has historically been the cheapest, most cramped, and hidden away passenger spaces on a cargo ship or ocean liner. Very few on the upper decks were likely to concern themselves with the comfort or survivability of those in steerage. Those forlorn passengers survived on faith that the trip to a country they have never seen was worth the sacrifice. Often the reward for such faith was overcrowded lodging in pestilential tenements in the ethnic ghettos of the New World. But despite those realities, faith continued, and they continued to come. But does such faith exist any longer? Their faith endured even when things turned out to be nothing like they expected. But faith today is of such flimsy substance that if we feel God has not answered a prayer where we were extremely specific about what he needed to do, we readily kick him to the curb and announce to the world that we doubt God even exists. Why is that? Are we simply that petulant? Or do we disallow the existence of any God who is uncontrollable, even when we say the right words in the right incantation? A magical God of our creation, who guarantees success, if we get the words right? The binding of such a God in that way would define a very weak being, incapable of freeing himself from thraldom to our desires. How ridiculous would it be for an ant to deny the reality of humanity's existence because we could not be compelled to fulfill the ant's wishes? Doubtless we would laugh in the face of such effrontery. How much more so would God stand astonished at ours? It can seem easier to deny God's existence than to confront the apparent dilemmas that arise if we consider the possibility of his existence. Standard theological problems such as theodicy and apparent indifference to suffering may seem like insurmountable problems, especially for relatively new believers, complicated by these challenges being continually made by those who refute whether faith is reasonable and practical. Theodicy is dealt with in the story of Job. Whether the story is seen as allegory or literal, the answer is the same. Unremitting faith, despite suffering, will have its reward. In our more modern era, we eschew suffering as being escapable due to scientific advances, rendering belief in God unnecessary. However, age brings enlightenment when we discover that pain and suffering come to all, and just like death, it is inescapable. Its existence, therefore, is not an excuse for denying the existence of God. It is often an effort to deflect our own culpability for the suffering in the world. Tobacco, alcohol, drugs, pollution in many forms, and indolence have done much to contribute to humanity's suffering, and these are all the results of our own actions rather than God's indifference or absence. It is time we admit our culpability in these things and come to God in faith. The Bible calls this repentance. It may not be popular to admit we are responsible for the problems we wish to blame God for. The news and social media both are filled with those playing the blame game. Everyone has someone to blame for why things are not going the way they want them to go. Very few look into the mirror to see the true source of the problem. When we finally do that, faith can lead us home. Thank you for listening to this commentary podcast. You can find the written version of this commentary, as well as hundreds more commentaries and podcasts at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. You can also find other sermons and articles and links to books by the author. Once again, that's Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. May God richly bless you and your family.